Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, I am glad you guys decided to join us today. I've got a special guest on the show today. He's a friend. He's a friend of the mission. I know him to be a good man, and when I say a good man, I mean somebody that is faithful to Christ and loves the Lord, loves the mission. I got to tell you, I know a lot of you out there today. We've come to November, and the October is gone. We're looking forward to the holidays. Some of you are looking forward to the holidays with trepidation. Some of you with sadness. Maybe you've lost a spouse or you're alone. You just don't know your place in the world. Today is a beautiful day outside, and as we come to the holidays, that should be a bright and a happy time, but it isn't always. So if I could give you any encouragement at all, it would be this, that if you feel that emptiness and you feel that loneliness and you feel like the holidays are just going to be a drudge that you wish you could just curl up and hide away, then my question for you is, are you walking with the risen Lord of glory? Do you know Jesus as your Lord, your Savior, the one who holds your eternity in his hands and can never fail? If you don't, then your loneliness is stemming from a place that the darkness is ahead. But if you would like to come into the light, there are healthy, well-balanced, Bible-believing churches in Sacramento. The gentleman I have on today is one of the pastors at just such a church. And so my question for you is, do you want to remain in the way that things are going? If you want to see the darkness, you want things to continue the way they are, or would you like to come and be surrounded by God's people to hear the Word of God, to talk about what an amazing future this world can be and the afterlife? And so I can tell you this. I lost my wife 4 years ago, as many of you know, and holidays can be a little stressful, and going home at night can be a little problematic. But you know what? I don't know how I could have handled any of this if I wasn't walking with Jesus, because I know he is my ever-present comfort. You know, when the Bible tells us, where will my help come from? I look to the hills, right? Where will my help come from? It's very simple. God is the only way, the only answer. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes before the Father but through him. But you know what? Come humbly, come broken. Christ will be there. So having said all that, I truly pray that you will have a blessed day, week, month, holidays. Moreover than anything, I pray that you will come to know Jesus Christ. So at any rate, I have a friend of mine on here. His name is Joe Yu, and he is a pastor and elder at his church. And so, Joe, I would like you to say hello to everybody and let us know what church you go to.
Hello, everybody. My name is Joe Yu. I go to City Bible Church, located in East Sacramento. I've been a lay pastor there for almost 3 years. I'm a retired dentist of 42 years, practice in, most of it was in Elk Grove, and I can't be in a better place than as a lay elder at City Bible Church.
Yeah, City Bible is, you know, I mean, you think of it as being kind of downtown, but it's not downtown. It's actually closer out there by the college, right? I've been there several times. Vlad, their lead pastor out there, is a wonderful guy. He loves the Lord and preaches the message. And the church is pretty big, pretty growing too, right?
It's growing really quick. It's a challenge to grow that quickly, but we're trying to keep up with the numbers. I think our membership is about 650 right now, and you know, every batch of new members is about 50, and so it's a blessing and it's a challenge at the same time.
Yeah, and I like the way you put that. So often we would say it's a blessing and a curse, but it's never a curse to have new members. So blessing and a challenge is right. Matter of fact, there are several people from the mission who have gone through the program who go to your church.
That's right.
And I guess, first of all, I would like the folks to know that you've been involved with the mission in different capacities for a very long time.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, you had, over the course of the years, taken several of our men kind of under your wing, kind of discipled them. Because one of the things that you have to understand is that our 10-month drug and alcohol recovery program, really what we're trying to do is, yes, we don't want people to do drugs and alcohol, but that is the outward sign of an inward problem. Mm-hmm. And the inward problem is old-fashioned, but it's sin.
And
you have to get to the root cause of all of those things, correct?
That's right.
And so after our 10-month program, they've been discipled on campus. They've been, we've talked to them about the gospel message. Yes, we do the drug and alcohol counseling, but from the perspective that everything needs to be God-centered. What we so often forget is that once upon a time, pastors were the ones that did all the counseling for people. Mm. Then we abrogated our responsibility. I've been a pastor a long time. We abrogated our responsibility, and a man named Jay Adams, who is known as the father of biblical or nouthetic counseling, started writing about, we need to turn this thing around. And so do our drug and alcohol counselors, are they trained? Absolutely, they're trained, but from a biblical perspective. The Bible truly has an answer for everything, but you need to be a qualified individual to see the problem, to guide somebody where that is. And so not every pastor can do it, and certainly there's more problems than there are pastors to handle it all. That's why we have biblical counselors. So also having said that, the next stage is that as they're going into healthy, well-balanced Bible-believing churches, they need to be discipled, correct?
Yep, that's right.
So tell me kind of how you picked up that gauntlet.
I've been involved with the mission over 10 years now. The church that I used to go to, there was about four or five of us guys who just had a heart for the homeless, and we would go out there, as you know, once a month. Yep. A church will host the evening service, and one of us will preach, and we'll preach the gospel. And I remember very specifically one night, Ray came up to me. I was about to leave the parking lot, and I had preached that night. And I was out in the parking lot. It was a dark evening, and he was out there. He came up to me, and he asked me for prayer. He was in the program. And I said, you know, it really touched my heart to see a guy in the program ask me to pray for him. So we prayed together, and I told him, Ray, I'm going to pray for you every night this week.
Amen.
And I did, and in fact, that was the first guy I ever came alongside. I decided that just praying for a guy for a week, probably it was good, but it wasn't enough. And so he was the first guy I ever came alongside and discipled. I would take him out to lunches when he got his blue badge. We really grew together. I still stay in contact with him a little bit now. That was a number of years ago. I believe in the mission. I believe that the best part of the mission is the gospel part.
That's right.
The Union Gospel Mission, and
that's right.
You know, before I ever got involved with the mission, you know, homeless people kind of scared me. I didn't know to react around them, you know, and I realized, you know, if it were not by God's grace, you know, we would be homeless too. You know, it's just.
That's right.
And so I really got a heart for these men because I know how much pressure men go through in this society and this culture of ours. And so when I started understanding what they go through and what the mission can do by giving them the gospel of understanding that their greatest problem is not that they're homeless. The greatest right. problem is not that their life has fallen apart or their relationships are destroyed, but their greatest problem is sin.
That's
and,
right.
And they need forgiveness before a holy God who gladly offers it to sure. them Amen. Through the person of Jesus Christ. And I think when I kind of started understanding that the only thing that transforms a life of a homeless person or life of anybody, any of us, doesn't matter whether you're homeless or not, is a relationship of repentance and forgiveness in Christ, that is the only thing that will transform us. It's not yep. it's not our social status or anything else, which many people think that's what it takes. But I think I've seen that in the men. I've seen where they've gone from despair and hopelessness to getting into the program and seeing hope in Christ and coming into a relationship with Jesus and understanding that's the most important thing in this yes. life. That's what's going to get them from hopelessness to the greatest hope possible.
The only hope that really makes any difference.
Yeah.
And to your point, I've been director for 19 and a half years.
Mm.
But before that, I was coming down for about 14 years before that, once a month, bringing a church down, and did until just a couple of years ago. The church still comes down, but as my wife got worse with the MS, it was more and more difficult for me to come at nights. But to your point, the first time I ever came down, I had no idea what it was like to be around homeless people.
Yeah.
I was afraid to touch them. I didn't want to get sick. And the very first time that I remember somebody coming to pray with me was a couple that were on the street, pretty dirty. I was a commercial air conditioning guy at okay. the time. And I knew God didn't want me to back away from him. So I thought, okay, well, I'll touch their shoulder or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, God, having the sense of humor that God has, the minute we were finished praying, they were crying, and frankly, so was I,
yeah.
and they threw their arms around me, and it seemed like it happened all the time, and I always thought, funny, Lord.
It's because people didn't ever pray for them or with them.
That's right.
Right?
And so, guess what? Over the years, have I gotten sick there? Absolutely. Mm. One time, and I just keep this short, you guys may have heard it before. Years before I was ever director, a guy came up to pray with me, and his whole side was crushed. He had bailed out of an airplane in the military, and his parachute didn't completely open.
Mm.
So he hit the ground pretty hard, crushed his whole side. So he is crushed, his face is crushed. He was sick, and I'm praying with him. I've got my hands on his shoulders, and he coughed in my face.
Mm.
He didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
He just, it surprised him, and he didn't have the motor skills, right?
Mm-hmm.
A week later, I was sick.
Mm.
I had bacterial pneumonia
wow.
of a kind that Placer County had not seen, and they even called the CDC, and they asked if I'd been out of the country. So that was preparatory ground, I believe, for me to come as director,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But so I saw him a few weeks later, and I asked him if he was sick, and he said, yeah. He said, as a matter of fact, I had pneumonia. I said,
oh, wow.
Yeah, how about that? So the only reason I'm telling you this story is, at that juncture, it can either solidify I can't come around those people,
yeah.
or, okay, but what am I going to do? And I remember the doctor saying, this was something, he said, where in the world did you get this? And I told him I was preaching down at the Union Gospel Mission. And I said, but what am I supposed to do, not go down because I get sick? He said, no. He said, I was a ER doc in Hell's Kitchen in New York. And he said, I got pneumonia twice and tuberculosis. He said, but you always have to do what you have to do. If a secular doctor can say that, what about a pastor?
Yeah.
What about somebody who's walking in faith, right?
Yeah.
Man, I've held guys in my arms when they're crying, program guys that that were at the very end of themselves. They, and I'm not ashamed to say they made me cry. But yes, Joe, you're right. I mean, it's a proving ground, and they need Jesus every bit as much as anybody else. And guess what? Mr. Person in the big penthouse who is satisfied with your three martinis a night and cheating on your wife and doing those things, let me tell you something. Your destination is just as bad as theirs.
That's right, and that's why the Scripture says that it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven. It's sometimes we don't see a need, and the guys on the streets, I've always thought that their life has fallen apart, right? A lot of them are alcoholics. A lot of them have problems with other drugs. They've probably been disowned by many of their family.
Yep.
They've burned bridges. That despair over their situation in life is not what brings them to the Lord.
That's right.
What brings them to the Lord is their despair over their situation with sin before a holy God.
That's right.
And I think that's what's so good about the gospel, is especially for the program men, especially for the guys who are there Monday through, well, the every day of the week, but Monday through Thursday morning and afternoon, they're having lessons in Scripture. They're understanding what the Word of God is saying into their lives, and their lives are transformed because of the relationship they have with the Lord, and that's what transforms them. It does, you know, just because their situation changes from being in the street to not being in the street, that's not the transformation.
No.
You know, that just because they have three meals a day and a place to sleep every night, that's not the transforming power of the gospel. The transforming power of the gospel is what they have said, how they've come in full humility, repentance, and forgiveness before the Lord, so that their heart is in the right place, so that they can then start from a position that begins to give them the most joy possible in life.
That's right. I just had one of our graduates who graduated years ago. He's got a good job. He's a skilled worker. It's you know, he's talented. His life was in a shambles. He was doing drugs and alcohol, but more importantly, his family had disintegrated.
Mm.
His wife was with his best friend.
Mm.
He was an angry, hurting man, and I'm telling you, I've had this guy. He's cried with me. I used to counsel him all the time. Every time that he would be going to a court-appointed date or whatever, well, I got a news for you. This gentleman has his family back, including his wife, who he forgave.
Mm.
And because he was sincerely had come to Christ and was drawn by God, his whole family is now walking in that faith, just like the jailer.
Yeah.
And so we can never minimize what that power of Christ is. And you said it, we are the Union Gospel Mission.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the gospel out of our name, we are nothing out there.
Yeah.
And so we are a union of different churches united under the gospel, a mission to the people, no different than a mission in a foreign land. We are a mission to the foreign streets of the homeless and the people coming out of prison. And I have never, I pastored a church for years and years, and I love that, but I'm telling you right now, I've seen more brokenness and more lives repaired.
Mm.
And I said, you know, people have asked me, well, what is your average, how many people are recovered on your program? I said, I don't know, because here's the bottom line. Most programs, at the end of their program, it's a success if you're not drinking and drugging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the Union Gospel Mission, if you're ever back in those old things, we haven't succeeded on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is, you want to come back? You want to keep in touch with us as a program guy? We love to have that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, to your point, we need more churches discipling people and preaching the gospel message and not diluting it. I mean, people ask me all the time, well, what is the answer to homelessness? I said, well, there isn't one answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so diverse. The only one commonality to the whole thing is a walk of faith with Christ, right?
Yep.
So, Joe, you've been doing it for 10 years. You're still doing it, though.
I'm still doing it. Yeah. The Lord has given me a heart for it. I'm not afraid of the homeless guys anymore. I'll go up to them and talk to them. I empathize with them. I don't understand really what it means to be homeless. I don't understand what it feels like to sleep in a tent and or just on a sidewalk every night. But I do know that the Lord has something much better in store for them. It is their decision ultimately to come and accept the Lord, and that's what we pray for
all the time.
That is our hope, that they will respond to the saving power of the gospel, and some of them do, but not all of them do. And it's up to the Lord. We don't control their hearts. They make their decisions, and God ultimately controls it all.
He absolutely does. You know, when God called me to Him, I've told people I wasn't pretty sick. I wasn't very sick. I wasn't nearly dead. I was all the way dead. His redemptive power, His breathing life into me that I could even accept His gospel message.
Yeah.
You know, when the Bible tells us that you are saved by grace through faith, and this not of yourself, it is a gift of God. It is a gift of God.
That's right.
And so I know we're nearly out of time, but I would like you to stay for one more show if you could.
I can do that.
And we've got a lot of other things to talk about. Again, City Bible Church that Joe Yu is a lay pastor at is a wonderful church. I've got a lot of friends out there, including Ben Ido, who I love very much. And some of our guys are going out there, and one of them is going to be baptized very shortly.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about him next time.
All right.
So as always, my dear friends, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hand.
Listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.